Hello, welcome to The Big Show. Yeah, it's time to talk about the big stories that have gone on in tech, everything that's happened, all the shiz, all that's gone on. And we might have a fight tonight, because not with each other, because we love each other, but we might have a fight with a couple of companies who've done some stuff that week that's just a bit... I guarantee someone's brought that story. Joining me, the panel to end all panels, starting us off. I'll keep going and call you Big Chris Ashley, but you're Little Chris Ashley now, aren't you?
Well, you know, it depends from perspective, right? Perspective. How you doing, man?
I think big is still appropriate. Just in a different way now.
I missed you, man.
Still bigger than most humans, I would think.
I missed you, man. Where you been? You're my brother from another mother.
Hey, man. Yeah, listen. You guys have been on my mind, my heart, and I was like, I got to come hang out with my peoples.
Yes.
The stars aligned, and your boy is here. But things have been great, you know. Brother's on the up, you know, just been traveling a bit. Daughter's doing so well in gymnastics, and now she's doing basketball.
Oh, man.
And so she's just super busy. She made honors choir.
Nice.
They picked like 4 kids from each school. And she was one of them that I got picked, and she really wanted it. So you got all this turmoil, but then you got these things that, like, you know, make you smile. And still working out, still, you know, keeping up my diet, still trying to get this last 50 pounds off. So I'm good, man. So I'm glad to be here. Thanks for always considering me. I really appreciate it.
That's right, man. You're always welcome on here. You just got to get your ass down here and do it. That's all.
Hey, that's it.
Powenge has just posted in the chat room. She's moved all of her services over to TSO Host.
Nice.
Hey, website and the lot. No, she just says she needs to update the website. That's all. Yeah. But well done. No, Merle, shut up. God, can't take him in. I thought I was missing him this afternoon, but now he's turned up. Talking about someone who's been busy this afternoon. Jeffrey Gamet, fresh off a Mac show, fresh off a beginner's webinar on Text Expander, and then straight into the Big Show, mate. Awesome.
It's that sums up my entire day so far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent, mate. Thank you so much for your time, because, well, I was going to say we couldn't do this show without you, but actually most of the podcasts on iTunes wouldn't happen without you.
You know, someone's got to keep this industry afloat.
Yeah, I'd like to think we're special, but we're not.
No, you are special.
You're a podcast shagbag, aren't you? That's the thing.
Well, there is that, but yeah. It doesn't mean you're not special.
Thanks, man. At the moment that you're with me, I'm Mr. Right Now.
You are so Mr. Right Now.
Thanks, man. And, of course, Smile Software and Jeffrey have been kind enough to give BTN listeners an offer code for Text Expander. So if you're thinking about a snippet system... then go for Text Expander for sure, because if you use the offer code BTN2020, you get 20% off. Thanks, man. And that's going to be around for a while yet. So if you're thinking about it, umming and ahhing, stop, go buy it. 20% off. Thanks, Jeff. And thanks, Smile Software, for doing that.
I've got your back.
Now, this is a surprise, because normally I'd say Muller last but not least, but he's not. He's actually the next one in the rotation. How you doing, buddy? You said you were tired today, though, didn't you? I love the fact that your old employer asked you if you wanted to come back for a job today and offered you a night shift from 6 p.m. to 2 p.m. and thought that you were going to give an answer which wasn't colourful. Are you thinking about putting your microphone on or not? That's a new level of microphone technique, mate.
I'm pretty sure I turned it on earlier.
Microphone technique 101. And we think it's because you can't lean in close enough, but it's no, you actually haven't switched it on.
Yeah, well, there you go. Oh, it's working now.
The clue was in your ears.
I'm just disappointed you haven't asked me to go to any one of your rooms with Chris and Jeff. I mean, me and Patrice are feeling rather left out.
What rooms?
Well, you two. I mean, it's been a big loving.
I've missed my boy, and Jeff's a commitment fan. And you've come over. You're tired, yet you've still come over. There's your commitment, mate.
Yeah, I know. I just, you know, we're just feeling like a bit left out, me and Patrice. I mean... you know, all the man love going around.
Well, I haven't got a chance to get to Paris, but you're welcome here, mate. You're welcome. And last but by no means least, Patrice, in slightly less echoey studio apartment, but still.
It's still very echoey.
Oh, mate. Oh, mate. You'll get there, pal. You'll get there.
We'll get there, yeah.
Chin up.
Lights and everything still coming in, like more stuff coming in.
You can't get down, mate, when you know you got mates over this side of the pond that can laugh at you and take the piss out of you.
Exactly.
Your adversity.
That is so true.
Good, man. Keep your chin up, mate. You'll be there. Right.
Will do.
The week in tech. What's been going on? What's been happening? Someone's shoved a story in already. No, no one shoved a story in yet. It's Muller. Who's going to start us off then? Do you want to?
Okay.
Boom.
Oh, no. It's a fight for who's got the. It's the same story.
Oh, Muller, it's the same story.
And
I think we could tag team it with you.
So if we're going to do a 1 hour and 1.5 hour show, this is 1 hour 25 minutes of it straight away. Jeffrey got there first, so Jeffrey took a Sonos speaker up. Why did you know this was going to be story one?
The crazy thing is, I knew someone would bring this story, even if it wasn't me.
Oh, of course.
And yet, I didn't have a backup story.
Oh, I have, luckily.
That's why you were so fast on the fingers, because you knew you had one chance and one chance alone.
I was kind of screwed if I didn't get in first.
Hello, Righty Boy. All
right. I'm going to say...
Righty Boy's watching. Righty, dial in on line five. Dial in on line five if you want, mate.
Yeah, I'm going to save Righty to be there. You'd have got no chance of getting that story.
So, Jeffrey, yeah, this has poached a lot of venom, hasn't it, this week?
Man, people are flipping out over this. So the short version is Sonos sent out an email to their customers saying, hey, you know, if you have some of our older technology or, you know, older products, you're not going to get any more software updates for them because we just can't continue to support the older stuff. And if you have newer products and they're mixed in on the same network as older products, your newer products won't get software updates either. So the only way to continue to get software updates is to take all of the old gear that Sonos has off of your network and either just not have it or replace it. And so people are flipping out saying, you know, this is ridiculous. Why shouldn't I not be able to have new features on the new components that I have, even if it's not supported on the older stuff? And then some people are saying, look, this is Sonos killing off the products. And in some cases saying that the old stuff will stop working, which is not the case. But there's a lot of people that are pissed off because they're looking at this and seeing this as Sonos telling customers, look, if you want to keep using our products, you just need to buy new stuff. That's the basic message that a lot of people are taking out of the Sonos announcement.
Oh, man, I just think there's going to have to be someone play devil's advocate for this. And I don't want to be the one that's on the wrong side of that.
You know, now I don't have any skin in this game because I'm not a Sonos user. So, you know, my take on this is it takes a lot of resources to support everything that you make. And at some point, older technology just has to be left behind. There's no way around it. And that means for some people it'll be a painful thing, and for some people it won't. And I think the bigger problem here is that Sonos didn't find a nicer or friendlier way to put this information out there. And so it just came across poorly.
It does come across like they've actually gone, right, hands up, who can play music on their Sonos? Not so quick.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. This is a messaging problem, really.
Semi-cycling nightmare, though, isn't it? I mean, there's going to be loads of people who will take them up on their offer of 30% discount. And then what's going to happen to all this plastic and metal? I mean, half these machines are only 7 years old.
Yeah, this is where I've got a problem with it, because basically you're making a product which is using an awful lot of natural resources and which then is of completely no use whatsoever, and it just becomes a doorstop or a brick or a piece of landfill, and that's not okay.
Yeah, I don't agree with that. I mean, I think Jeff is right. I mean, it's a PR disaster. It's also like, it makes sense. At some point you have to decide what you want to do. Like, if you want to offer new features, I mean, Sonos already didn't ship, I think, AirPlay 2 and stuff like that for the newer for the older devices because, like, supposedly because they couldn't, probably also for marketing reasons. But, like, ultimately, at some point, you have to cut ties and say, okay, this is, like, we want to do new stuff, we want to do more exciting stuff, but we can't do that if we string along, like, 10-year-old devices. What they should have done, though, is, like, find a way to keep them running. Like, simply say, okay, you won't, yeah, like, you won't be able to use, I don't know, the latest Sonos app, you won't be able to use the latest features, but here is a, whatever, Sonos Classic that still, like, does the job. Something like that. That would have been, I think, the right way to do, especially if the devices are only 7 years old. I think that's kind of pushing it a little bit, especially for a speaker, especially for an expensive speaker.
So this is a tough one for me.
Chris has been remarkably quiet here. I expected you in sooner than now.
Because I'm so torn, right? Because I manage software, right? And so I've been on both sides of this type of issue where people want me to upgrade. I had a piece of software that was extremely popular in the enterprise world. And it got to the point where the underlying code was so old that we could no longer update it to work on newer versions of Windows servers. It just surpassed us and we just couldn't get it to work. Not without like a significant rewrite, which at that point we might as well just build a whole new product. And so we were in a position where we had to kind of pivot and start building a new product. Which means, you know, you can't just take all your settings and the features that every single feature that existed in the old software and into the new one. So I kind of feel for Sonos in this regard because sometimes it's just unfortunate that the architecture that you started out with that worked so well and you're like, okay, this is what we're going to do because this works great for how we want things to work. It can't be brought forward based on new standards. On the other side, unfortunately, I don't always trust these companies that's why. And that's the sad part is because we know that, you know, a lot of times they just won't update stuff to force you to buy new features. I mean, HP was guilty of that, right? With their printers. I believe it was them. I think
printers are a little bit different because of the inks and the fact that actually most printer manufacturers are the spawn of the devil.
Yeah. It was the drivers with the Vista, right? They didn't want to develop new drivers. Yeah. For Vista, and you know, Vista took a bad rap, you know, for that aspect. I mean, it had other challenges, but still. So I kind of torn on it. And the thing is, I'm kind of glad this is happening now because I'm actually been very interested in Sonos over the last 2 years. I've been kind of watching it. I've got friends that use those use it and love what they get out of it. And so I've been actually considering diving into Sonos and getting a couple speakers over a period of time. And that's the biggest part of this that kind of sucks, right? Because a lot of people aren't just going to go drop $4,000 for an entire house of Sonos stuff. They're going to build it over a period of time. So you're building over a period of time, but you're not finished. And now you've got to junk some of the devices. So that part, I don't know why you would have to remove older devices in order to update ones that are still covered. That part doesn't really make sense to me. I would assume you'd be able to detect a version and just say, okay, this one gets the update and this one does not. So that part doesn't make sense to me, which from there leads me more to believe that this is a more ploy than software.
I don't think they're going to end up in landfill, though. Like, I mean, the plastic can be recycled and like the boards in there.
No, you know what I mean? I'm talking about junking it, you know, rather than as in just stop using it rather than actually physically going into a landfill. That's not a bit too literal, but the thing for me is at the end of the day, it's a speaker that lets you play your music. And the problem that they started with was they went down a path of a mesh network, not a Bluetooth device. And therefore you were tied to an app that linked the thing and created a mesh network within your home network. And now they've added Bluetooth to it. So actually the Series 2 stuff, you could just play as a Bluetooth speaker without the app, couldn't you? But you can't with the original stuff. So that's
It was Wi-Fi. So it wasn't a separate network.
It was a mesh. It was, it created its own mesh network, didn't you? So you could link the speakers together. You didn't have, you didn't have to have a Wi-Fi network. You could link the speakers together and play it from the iPhone app. I'm pretty sure you could.
I remember the ones I set up definitely were linked to my Wi-Fi.
Yeah, that you did, but I'm sure you could set up a mesh network where the speakers linked to each other.
Mm.
And that was the whole point. But the thing is, it's just a speaker that plays my music. And that's the hard part, is that I've got loads of speakers that play the music because their functionality is basically down to Bluetooth. And until you get rid of Bluetooth, they still work. But so now I'm just sitting thinking, well, look, if this thing doesn't update, that's fine. If I keep an old phone and I keep an old copy of the app, but then you're kind of like, well, actually the app will start to look for updates for itself and say you can no longer use this app.
Mm.
Right.
And that's where I've got a real problem with it, is as you said, Chris, if you said, right, we're going to issue the Sonos Classic app and that will deal with everything up to Series 2, but anything before that is on the Classic app, and then everything's going to have to go in the new app that comes afterwards. Yeah, fine. I think that I've got no problem with that. But for, to say that you're going to spend £500 on a speaker and then in 7 years someone's going to tell you that speaker will no longer play music, there is an awful lot of fool load in that. Mm-hmm. There is an awful lot of saw you coming, boy, because that ain't right. It's just a speaker that plays your frigging music.
Yep. I mean, I still have my sound system that I bought when I bought this house 15 years ago, and it still sounds great. I'm never getting rid of that system. You know, I spent a ton of money on it at the time. You know, it was like $2,000. I wasn't making $2,000 money to be buying speakers, but I saved up and bought them. And and I still use them. So, you know, 7 years is way too short of a lifespan.
My dad has got,
for something that expensive.
My dad's got a Philips Dynatron system that still plays vinyl. And it sounds amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's older than me. It's older than me.
My brother still uses my old NAD hi-fi system, well, the amplifier.
Yeah.
And he's got my old deck, which probably dates back to 77, and my old B&W speakers. Not B&W, B&W.
Yeah.
and they had to change them last year because... one of the dogs ran into the speaker and put the comb through.
Oh, nice.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh. Should have left the cover on.
Should have had the dog put down.
They look so cool without the cover, though.
Yeah.
They really do.
Yeah. Much better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I get where the venom's coming from, and I think there is an awful lot of justification in it. There really is. I mean, it's not done well. I agree with both of you guys there, but it's just like, it's just a speaker that plays your music. That's got to come back to the original thing. It's. I mean, I've still got, Muller's given me his hi-fi for my little Mac collection here. I can only get it to play with my iPhone 3GS plugged in the top, and it won't charge anymore. I have to charge the 3 at first and then put it in and play it, but it still plays.
You can put a line in. There's a port at the back to put a headphone jack in.
No, it plays through that, just putting the 3 in the slot. But the problem is the slot doesn't give any power to the 3 anymore, which it used to do, I guess. So might give it to iMenMax, have a look, see if they can fix it. But no, it still plays its music, and it's 15 plus years old now.
Yeah, it had a great sound when I bought it.
It still has, mate. Trust me, I played it the other day with Richard Harkness when he was down here. So it's excellent. No, not real much word from the, you know, Batman, she's just saying she's happy she's got a really cheap CV soundbar. Bob Beach says he's still got a Rotel amplifier, which works brilliantly.
Most of his stuff works on valves.
No, Bob's got, mate, Bob's got everything. Bob's got Sonos, I know he has. But,
the story from Sonos, like the release. It's actually, they're stopping software updates. So, like, it kind of still works. The question is just how long. Like, nobody knows how long it's going to work. But the bad thing is that if you have a newer device, like you have one of the old devices and you have, like, a new, whatever, new Sonos 5 or, like, a Sonos 1, they are not going to get updates either, because all devices in your network have to be on the same firmware, on the same software version.
Yeah, that's the divide that gets me.
Yeah,
that's kind of bad.
Which, I mean, the only thing I can think of is that maybe there's one master and then they all pull from the master, and if they, you know, they won't be able to communicate anymore with the new updates. Maybe they're changing the architecture. I can think of things that may cause that type of scenario, but you know, you would think, okay, different storage. You master pull, send these files to those speakers, and rest of them pull from this other side. There's probably ways around it. And, you know, I've had these conversations, right? It's like, what are people going to say when we drop support for this, that, or the other? Even when you're trying to follow Microsoft guidelines, right? Microsoft kills off a version of SQL, and you're like, we're not going to waste time testing against that version if it's not supported. And then you start getting these emails, oh, such and such customer who's been with us for 10 years and, you know, spend this, you know, they want you to still support it. You know, I've been there, man. I've been there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think the problem that you've got is the fact that I don't think anyone would care about their app being updated. It's the fact that the email that they sent out said that your listening experience will be affected.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the key. That clearly says, I'm sorry, but your speakers are going to stop working.
And what is going to happen to all these speakers? Because apparently they don't want them back. They just turn them off so they can't be used. So what do you do? Keep them in your loft and hope they're going to be worth somebody one day? Or do you just take them to the dump and they end up in a landfill?
Sonos has a program for, and I'll do air quotes, recycling speakers, where if you buy a new speaker, there's a process you go through to let Sonos know that you bought a new speaker, and then your old speaker, even if it's working perfectly fine, will get bricked. So it's not usable by anyone ever again. And then I don't know if they send you a box to put the speaker in and ship it off to recycling center or what, but it seems like a very short-sighted system for dealing with people upgrading equipment because if you use that system, you're taking a perfectly good and perfectly working product and intentionally bricking it so it can never be used again.
Yeah. Mighty's put in the chat room, Sonos never heard of a network. We have multiple systems and operating systems at work, and we have to work to keep them up and running. We just pulled support, we'd be crucified. Not a best way to get repeat customers, says Batwench. Good point. Yeah, really good point.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the end result for me is that even though I've never been a Sonos customer, I found their products intriguing. But at this point, I don't see myself ever buying Sonos products.
I have two because I managed to offload one back to James Ricards the other week, luckily, before this happened. Bad luck, James. But I think, you know, audio products are long-lasting. I think one of the things that they've got is that they've had to include this idea of integration in for voice assistants and all that kind of thing with the Zigbee stuff that went into the last module. And that's creating a legacy requirement within it because they have to keep up with that. But actually, I never wanted that. I just wanted my speaker to work. I just wanted my speaker to play music from the app that I had. And I think there's an awful lot of people are sitting there going, well, that's all I do is play music from the app. Why is this a problem?
Yeah.
And it will
like
be.
My mom.
Yeah.
All she does is listen to an online radio station. That is it.
That's it. Through us on our speakers and that'll all go away eventually.
Yeah, I have to agree with Jeff because this definitely is, you know, even though I don't own a Sonos speaker, so it doesn't affect me now. It's like, I would be pretty pissed in another 7 years. They're like, well, we got to do the same thing again.
Mm-hmm.
So that's definitely put a little hitch in my giddy up.
Yeah, we're gonna obsolete your speakers in 7 years, but we're also gonna halve our prices. Okay, I get that. At least I'm going in eyes wide open.
Sure, there's only a board or some electronics inside, and you could open it up and replace the electronics and carry on using the speaker.
Well, best of luck with that, mate. Muller, let us know how you get on with the Sonos speakers you haven't got.
Well, I've seen breakdowns of them, and there's not much inside them. Surely they could sell a kit. You just open it up, replace the motherboard or whatever it is, and carry on using it. The speakers themselves are good, only enclosures and normal moving cones.
I feel a business coming on, Muller. What do you think?
Yeah, but you probably need to get licensed somehow.
Well, no, because they don't want it anymore.
don't think my electronics...
That's going to be my defence in the High Court, is going to be, well, you said you didn't want it anymore. Not my fault.
Who's Sonos' competition? Do they have... Apple? I mean, I know Apple has their speaker, Amazon, but I don't know if it...
Google, Amazon Apple. Speakers are going to be bigger, aren't they?
Apple, Amazon, Sonos. Sony do some as well.
Sonos has always suffered from being its own environment, though, hasn't it? That's the thing. And now it's done this, it's still stuck in its own environment. It's not an open platform that people can send stuff to as well.
Oh, Amazon has an Echo Studio. Okay.
Yeah.
Isn't IKEA Bose doing something like this?
Yep. Yes. Yep. Yes, they are.
My whole home audio setup, and granted, my apartment isn't that big, but it's Echo Dots with bookshelf speakers plugged in.
Yeah, perfect.
I don't think Bose speakers sound that good. Every time
I've never been a fan of Bose speakers, but their headsets I find phenomenal. But their speakers, I don't like.
Bit bass heavy for me. There's no definition.
We tested them like a couple of years ago when my mom wanted a system, and like they were horrible. Really expensive even compared to Sonos, which isn't cheap, and not very good.
There's a Bose studio in the Bullring, so I've been in there and listened to them all. They've got a proper place where you can sit down, have a cup of coffee, listen to the speakers. I thought, it's a shit.
We should have had James Rickards on this show because he used to work for Bose. You'd have been squirming about this point.
No wonder.
No wonder I used to.
Right, he says, surely people will just go and get 30 quid smart speakers, and if they get screwed by Google Amazon, they can go up for the next one without spending much cash. If my £600 play bar stops working soon, I will be incensed, says Bob Beach.
Yeah, they're not cheap, man. That soundbar, they have two soundbars that are like $700.
Yeah, they're not cheap.
Man.
Good story. That went on long. We need to cut that one off, otherwise we'll carry on all night complaining about it. So someone else can have another one.
Patrice
put it in next.
2016.
Yeah. Yes. NASA actually released or revealed their payloads for the first commercial moon cargo deliveries, which I found really interesting. And they're sending 16 payloads up. And it's covering anything from like science experiments, some tech. Like there's it's called like a Lunar Node 1 navigation demonstrator, which is like an autonomous navigation system for the lunar surface, stuff like that. So they're actually trying a lot of also like interesting tech on the moon now.
I'm trying to get rid of a freaking Google. I hate this. Look, the Google adverts at the top of the page and it won't. Oh, piss off. I can't get the... Oh, sod off.
Hasn't ESA and NASA said they want to return back to the moon in the next 5 years?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 2024 is the target right now for a crew to actually return to the moon. Like the commercial crew, like the test flights that are happening right now, that's all in preparation for that, or like in part.
And they're going to take
a pretty aggressive timetable.
Well, I saw a program on British TV, and apparently they want to take this printer up, and it basically uses the moon dust
to make a lab.
What they're going to do is if they build it underground, these little blocks will be made, and then they can cover it with more.
Well, no, they've got a 3D printer that makes concrete, hasn't it, and squishes it out and adds the water to it. But because moon dust does look like concrete, doesn't it? It looks like cement.
Well, they're actually, I think some of the experiments are actually...
To melt it.
Like, actually testing that. There is one that's called SEAL, like a surface exosphere alterations by landers, which like tests the response of the moon dust by like when the landers land and stuff like that. So there's a lot of like really interesting stuff going on the moon right now. Like it's kind of like nothing happened on the moon for a long time, and now all of a sudden, like they're sending a bunch of stuff. It's Apple's fault. I'm not sure about that.
They're probably Russians and Americans either side of a crater.
The thing is as well. You say it's a pretty aggressive timetable for going back to the moon. Mm-hmm. At 4 years, and there is I totally get that, but there's a bit of me's also going, well, we've been before, You know, it can't be like, surely
we've been before, but a lot of the technology that that we used to get to the moon has been lost. Yeah. And so we have to figure out how to do this stuff again.
Yeah, I mean, remember, we haven't been on the moon for how long now? 70 years?
How much?
50 years.
Mate, you can get away with the odd slip in English for a second language, but you're not going to get away with a slip in maths like that.
Yeah, it's 50 years.
Oh, yeah, it's like, been 200 years since we were last there, definitely. King Charles was on the throne.
Oh, yeah, no. No, it's 50 years. Yeah, but I mean, that means like we've forgotten and lost a lot of things. Technology has changed. Like, I mean, right now the US doesn't have any capability of sending crew up. Like, it's all the Soyuz capsules.
I think
it's all Russian right now.
And Soyuz capsules, Russia doesn't have the technology to go that far with their spacecraft.
No, they haven't got the propulsion. The Atlas rocket's the only one that's going to get there, isn't it? Or the Dragon, the SpaceX one.
Not use a Tesla.
Yeah. I think the thing is as well, though, and we sit here as you know, weekend tech pundits, sitting going on about, wouldn't it be fantastic if we went back to the moon? And all of us sit and do not think for one second about the fact that if it goes belly up, you die. And that's the thing. It's like, you know, there was someone said, has anyone ever had a beer on the space station? And Chris Hadfield went, why would you do that? Why would you go into the place where if there's a problem, you've got three breaths to solve it and put alcohol in your system that would slow you down? Why would you do that? And no one thinks.
Exactly. Why would you do that?
And someone says, oh, have we had sex in space? No, I'm too busy making sure that the space staff's going to pop and I'm going to die from rapid decompressurization to think about shagging. It's just, you know, why would I do that? And I think that's the thing is, as like I say, as weekend warriors, we sit here and just think that it's a game going up there, and it really isn't.
Apparently, no, it's not.
I did see
a
program on that. Apparently, you can't really have sex in space because you're...
Muller, that wasn't a cue for you to postulate about sex in space. That was me saying.
I'm just saying, apparently, that's my point. Don't work right.
I think actually, Muller, my point entirely right there.
Have they noted if they have the appetite to send humans along? Because I'm seeing that these ships are unmanned. And
that's the plan for 2024. Like, they're sending the unmanned probes and everything and like preparing everything, and then 2024, 2025, that's when they want to like send people over.
But I think
they've already picked the crew, even. Like, it's already decided who's going to go and all of that. They're going to send the first woman to the moon. That was the plan.
Nice.
You know, when Apollo 11 landed on the moon, even with all the testing that had been done leading up to that first lunar landing, there was no guarantee that the rocket engine on the ascent stage from the lunar excursion module would actually ignite.
Well, they did that on 10, though, didn't they? They did a low orbit ejection to check that it would burn out.
Yeah, but they didn't know if it was going to start up from the lunar surface. I mean, like, it was a serious concern, so much so that President Nixon had two speeches prepared for the end of the mission.
Yeah.
And the first one was, you know, this is a wonderful thing, blah, 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 hooray for us. And the other one was the sacrifice that these two men have made because they can't ever leave the surface of the moon. It will not be forgotten. And it's a horrible tragedy, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And they didn't know which speech he was going to read until that engine ignited.
Yep.
So, I mean, so that's just how crazy difficult this is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember seeing there's a guy called Kevin Fong, who's a journalist come doctor. Yeah, he is a doctor, but he's done a lot with NASA and on nutrition and stuff like that and existence in space. But he's also an A&E doctor, and he went round the shuttle when it was still flying. There was a program on the BBC about it, and there was a guy that was taking him round, and he walked past the shuttle, and the guy said to him, "Don't touch it." And he said, yeah, but I just want to reach up and touch it. And he said, why would you do that? Because, you know, these tiles, why would you risk putting grease from your hands on these tiles that means that they could ignite, they could dislodge, they could bear more heat than they're supposed to, and you put a risk, you know, the crew members, mm-hmm. just so you can touch it. Yeah, but I just want to, you know, I've got a terrible urge to touch this thing. He said, everyone does, it's fine, but no one touches this.
But don't do it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's that critical, and we just don't get, I don't get that. I'm first to admit, I just don't, I get it, but I don't think about it. Yeah, I'm like, I want to go to the moon. No, I don't. I really don't want to. I'd shit myself if I went to the moon. I'd be like, no, I'm going to die. They're never going to get a spacesuit to fit me. We've got to have a building up there, which is cast iron. One, not made from cast iron, because that'd be too heavy, but you know what I mean? It's got to be cast iron safe. It's got to be absolutely, this is an environment which cannot fail. And then mm-hmm. we can send people to it. Mm-hmm. On a more permanent basis.
Yeah. I mean, there's a reason why NASA and SpaceX, like, they tested the Crew Dragon, like, the ejection system recently. They basically blew up an entire rocket just to test whether the ejection system would work, simply because they know
They did that on the Saturn V as well, because that's when they put the mm-hmm. little jets on the top to pull the module away, yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a standard test.
Yeah, it's a standard test, but why? Because they know stuff can go wrong, and they want to save the human lives. Like, I mean, that's the only reason why that exists.
I think if you look at Challenger, we'd got into a situation with Challenger where it was a routine thing. Going into space was mm-hmm. safe and fun and worth watching on the telly all the time. And mm-hmm. lo and behold, it wasn't, thanks to a cold Florida morning. And you don't need that because people die. I'm not suggesting that, but what I'm saying mm-hmm. is, the human psyche needs a shake once in a while to say, oi, it's not that simple.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That tragedy was, it was a tragedy. And there were a couple of problems. The first one was people were looking at shuttle launches as routine, you know, like mm-hmm. getting on an airplane and flying to another city. But the other problem was there was a lot of pressure on NASA to make these missions happen and make them come off like clockwork and make them look routine.
Well, the military was pushing that on, wasn't it, as well? Because they were launching military stuff.
Right. And so mm-hmm. they started cutting corners and taking risks that they shouldn't have. And then the next thing you know, we have a space shuttle breaking up on reentry. We have a space shuttle exploding on launch. And neither should have happened.
Doc's watching. He says, why are you lot talking about shagging in space? From what I hear, you can't shag on terra firma. I wouldn't know.
Jeff is right.
I can't read that out, Batwinch, because it's libelous. Jeff's just gone silent.
And the accident, like, it literally, like, it probably cost us a lot of progress and like good 10-15 years in like space exploration, because like, I mean, it was a shock and nobody really mm-hmm. wanted to take the risk anymore, yeah. Which is understandable.
Yeah. It was a shame as well, because the other irony was the fact that Christa McAuliffe was going up, who was a school teacher, and it was like, you know, we're mm-hmm. even sending school teachers into space. Oh, well, actually, mm-hmm. no, we're going to go back to people who know the risk a bit more.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to make light of that because it was a horrible thing. I remember that day terribly. It was, wasn't mm-hmm. good. I was shocked as well, and I was gutted because my grandmother, for my 13th birthday before she died, bought me a model of the space shuttle to make, and it was just before Young and Crippen went up and did their flight. So mm-hmm. it was a massive part of my life as a teenager, and it was a massive shock.
Yeah.
I want us to go there. I want it to be great. I want it to be loads of fun, but... You know, I do sit back sometimes and catch myself thinking, nope, it's not that simple.
Mm-mm. Space is a very, very dangerous place.
And it is completely unforgiving.
Mm-hmm.
Distinct lack of oxygen everywhere.
Yeah.
I can see where that would be an issue.
Mm-hmm. It's also freaking cold. It's colder than Siberia.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? We've got to, if you look at Mars, I mean, they've got to go back to the moon because we can't get to Mars unless we go to the moon first and have a stage. Mm-hmm. There's a load of fuel potentially on the moon as well, which can help us. We've got helium-3 up there, which is great for us, which would power America for an entire year just for a small container load of it. But you're then like, well, okay, I've got to go to, unless we can make water on Mars, then it's kind of pointless going there because we've got to take all the water with us and the water will never come back and it'll be irradiated on the way there and all that. And it's just like, that just doesn't.
And it's heavy.
Yeah. Oh. How we, yeah.
I mean, that's the whole reason why we're looking for water on Mars. I mean, we've found some now, but like we're still looking.
Yeah. There's water ice. We know there's water ice, but it's just what we can do with it and whether we can make in it. And then the other problem you've got is if we find life on Mars, that's it. The policy from NASA is we're never going to go to Mars because it's an ecosystem then. If there's life on there, if there's a bacteria up there that's functioning, we cannot go there. Which is then like, well, bloody hell, boys, what are we going to do now?
Well, there are enough other planets we can go to.
Okay, so that's like saying, I'm going to hop across the stepping stones to get across the Niagara Falls, but actually the second one we can't step on, so you've got to jump 20 feet to the next one. Off you go, and Niagara Falls is the other side of it.
But I mean, we're going to figure out a way. Like, I mean, that one, because we don't have a choice, really, and two, because we're going to, like... we're going to figure it out. It might take us longer, but we're going to figure it out.
I just love the fact that Patrice goes, there'll be other planets. And like, yeah, but within a billion miles? No. And the next one's Jupiter. It's a gas giant.
Titan. I mean, there's life there, possibly.
Nothing like Mars, obviously. But, I mean, I've heard, like, people have been thinking about going to Europa, for example.
Yeah, but the thing is, we've got to send a probe, and it's highly likely there's life there. And if there's life there, we can't ever go there. So what you're actually doing is saying you're going to go from London to John O'Groats down the motorway and there's no service stations to have a pee.
Yeah.
You know, it is. It's a metaphorical
pee. We're going to have to build one, like in orbit or something.
So what happens when another country or a corporation decides, screw it, we're going to the moon anyhow, or we're going to Mars anyhow?
Or China.
Russia. I mean, it's not like we can shoot down their rockets. I mean, that would be an international disaster.
I think as long as they obey the traffic signals, be okay. You know,
no accidents.
Hopefully the Federation will find us before then and actually shake some sense into us.
We can live in hope.
No cons.
Who's next? Who's got a story?
I actually posted one.
Oh, you did?
A while back. Yeah.
Are you Mutter? No.
Yeah. Yes. That's the app.
You're Mutter, of course. Yeah. Why would we know? Of course, Chris, your mother in the chat room.
Mutter.
I thought that was a joke, but that's actually a real story. I'm sorry, man. Tinder adds a panic button. Tell us more.
So apparently there was a recent abduction that was by a British man who kidnapped a girl, ended up killing her, dumping her, and taking trophy pics of her body. And he used the Tinder app to locate her. And for me, I'm old school, you know. I did all my gift to gab up front. But, man, I have a friend of mine who grew up with me, but he recently started dating and he's using apps and, you know, dating left and right. And I was like, man, the world really has changed. And then it kind of hit me. It's like, oh my God, my little girl's coming up in this world. So I started trying to pay attention to, you know, around these dating apps and, you know, the stuff that these folks are using. And so I find this kind of dually interesting. On one side of it, you know, anything that a company that, you know, provides access for folks to strangers to meet should do everything in their power to make sure, you know, they create facilities to ensure safety. So I applaud any effort in this. And what they're doing in this particular case is they're partnering with a company called Noonlight that if you opt in while you're on a date, it they will the Noonlight partnership will actually track your movement, your location, and then it includes a panic button. So if you hit the panic button, they will first text you to make sure everything is okay, and then if you don't text back, they'll call you. And if you don't answer the call, or you do answer the call and say you need help, then they'll send a police officer. So, you know, an extra step there. I know some people are like, well, why don't you just call the police? But you may not be in a situation. You know, there's, you never know what each individual situation is. So anything you can add to safety is better. And they also said that, you know, we'll have no access to the data, to the tracking information. That was Tinder saying that Noonlight will have that, and we're not going to use any of the data for advertising or anything like that. So, you know, I actually find that part to be pretty good as well. So I'm just kind of, have you guys, because I know some of you probably dating, you guys use apps at all, or are you not using the apps because that's what the kids do now?
I am dating, but don't tell me wife, eh?
And then, you know, with your kids out there, boys and girls, you know, they're going to be on this stuff using this. So does this, you know, do these type of things concern you?
I think you got to, I think there's rules you should be following anyway without things like this. Like if you meet a person for the first time, you should be going to a very public place.
Sure. Yeah.
And I would say don't go home with them. Not till you've had at least a couple of dates. You know, I mean, there's definitely your own safety rules to follow.
See, now I am of the opinion, I was of the opinion, where it was like Tinder was for people who couldn't get a normal person to like them. And then I was with someone not 2 weeks ago, and they showed me a picture of their latest love interest, and I was like, well, she's pretty, but that looks like a picture of Tinder, though. And he went, well, it was. And I looked at this person, it was just like, I would never have thought, because, I mean, this guy was an attractive bloke, good-looking guy with a great physique in the prime of his life. Why does he need to go on Tinder? And I was gobsmacked.
I
think that might be a generational thing now, because, like, I mean, like my age and younger, everybody's using Tinder. Like, Tinder is there are a couple of other apps, and depending on your, like, sexual preference and so on, like, you can go to Grindr and some others, but dating apps are the way to meet people.
There are a lot of people that aren't comfortable going out, you know, like to a bar to try and find someone, or or they just simply don't have time to go out and find events where there's a likelihood that they could meet someone. And so services like Tinder take care of that for them, because it takes out all of that time of trying to find someone, and it gives you, I'll call it, a target-rich environment where everyone is there for the same thing. They're trying to find someone to date. And I totally get why people are using services like Tinder. I have never used a dating app, and you know, the whole thing, swipe left, swipe right, I heard people say that, but I don't know which is good and which is bad. I just know it's a thing. But yeah, I get why people would use services like Tinder, because for a lot of people, they just don't have any other place that they feel they can go and look to try and meet people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I can like tell you that personally. It is like, if you're working like 10, 12 hours a day, like especially in a like high stress, like management position, and like, I mean, you're surrounded by, I mean, one, dating in the workplace is kind of an issue anyway, and then like you're surrounded by basically, I don't know, 85-90% men. Well, you have to find something else, and like if you don't have the time or the like, yeah, if you're more shy or whatever, like you just like you use an app. And I mean, I met my wife on Tinder. I can tell you that.
No, I'm not suggesting.
So,
go on. Sorry, Chris.
Yeah. So I'm interested because, like I said, I got a little girl coming up, and this will be the norm for her. So, does safety Did that ever cross your mind as you were using Tinder? And, you know, do you find this to be an adequate measure? Is there other things they should be doing? I'm just kind of interested around this.
Safety is always an issue, like no matter what. It was an issue before Tinder. It was an issue when you were dating someone in a bar. Like it was always, always an issue, unfortunately.
Let's be clear that there used to be a place where you'd fill in a piece of paper and become a member of an organization that would then send you prospective dates and pictures of those prospective dates. So it's not new. Video dating has been around for years before that. So the concept of having someone find you a person is not alien. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I think it's a bit different, right? Because if you were in a bar, you know, people saw you, right? And, you know, they could probably, maybe, you know, even though eyewitness is terrible, but somebody probably knew you, you know, maybe. Mm-hmm. Here, you can be a bit more anonymous, right?
To some extent. I mean,
I guess I don't know the window, the second you meet up,
like... It's kind of the issue is, I mean, someone can literally, like, you meet up with a guy or girl, the other person can slip something in your drink while you're not paying attention, and yeah, I mean, stuff can happen. Like, that happens all the time.
But that's not Tinder. It's
probably not like the norm, but it happens.
But it's not to do with Tinder.
It has nothing to do with Tinder.
Yeah,
like it's literally, yeah, you meet someone through Tinder. At some point, you're gonna go out on a date.
To be honest with you, we used to get lots of complaints of women saying they were roofied. But when you actually worked out what they'd had to drink, they hadn't been roofied. They just drank a half a bottle of vodka or a bottle of vodka and a load of Red Bull.
Yeah, but then, I'm sorry, we're not going to lighten that situation in any way, because if a woman is drunk and is incapable of saying yes, that's a no. Let's not mix that up.
But the thing is, what I'm saying is that I don't think roofies are as common as people think. I think a lot of people use it as an excuse for over drinking and then getting themselves into a situation that's dangerous. I think if you're going to,
but it doesn't.
Both happen. Like it's. I mean,
it has happened, but it's not as common as you think. Well, not in England, anyway.
Yeah, still, I mean, at that point, it doesn't matter. However it happened, like, it happens.
And that's exactly my point. That is not a thing. If you say, well, you drank so much that you didn't get roofied, that's fine. But you were at the point of being incapable of giving consent.
Oh, yeah.
That's a rape.
But the thing is, what I'm saying is that if you're going on a date from Tinder, you really should be keeping your wits about you, not drinking too much.
Everyone should. Totally agree.
And tell your mates where you are.
But it's not Tinder.
And have a plan for a taxi home and stick to the time. So maybe say, I'm stopping till 10, then I'm going whatever happens. And if I'm not home by 10, my mates are going to phone the police.
I absolutely applaud the fact that Tinder are linking up with someone to try and make something to make it safer to use their service. Well done. Absolutely. There is no negative there, 100%. But... it is not Tinder's fault if you are incapable of protecting your own safety by making sure that you do not drink so much that you cannot decide to make an adult decision to do something with your own body. That's not okay for you, but it's also not okay for the person who misuses that trust and does something that they shouldn't. That's still wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, on the other side, even though I've always, you know, I always get annoyed with companies that seem to overstep with their tracking and their stuff like that. But in, you know, call me a hypocrite, but in this type of case, you know, I'm actually okay with it to some extent, right? Because, you know, I know if my daughter went on a date and she disappeared, I'd definitely want to be able to track her down and, you know, figure out what's going on. So, hats off to them for doing something. You know, I don't know if it's enough.
I mean, Jeff used an analogy there about, you know, there's people aren't comfortable about going to a bar. I never got a decent relationship from going to a bar. I had a lot of great nights. Thank you very much. And it was good fun. And the person knew it was good fun. And I knew it was good fun because we saw each other across the room. We smiled. We hit it off. We had a conversation. And that was the end of it afterwards. But it you never meet people for serious relationships. It's a 1 in 1,000,000 or a 1 in 1,000 or a 1 in 100,000 to find someone that you're going to marry across a crowded bar. And it's the same with Tinder. Tinder's a crowded bar.
But is that the standard? That's probably a high standard.
No, but what I'm saying is people have got this expectation about, I've got to be in a relationship. I've got to be in a serious relationship. All my friends are in serious relationships. Therefore, I go to Tinder to try and find a husband slash wife. And actually, Tinder's no better than going into a bar, because in a bar, you'll only find a quick shag. You won't find a relationship 99.9% of the time. So the point is that, you know, there is no substitute for meeting a person, looking at them, having a conversation with them, realizing you've got plenty in common, and then taking it further. Now, if there's a facility to do that via some text messages, and then it turns into more, and then you decide to meet, and that's Tinder, then fair enough. But you still got to go through that step process of saying, I feel comfortable with you before I go out and meet you.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what Tinder does. I mean, literally, I mean, you have the profile that gives you like a first indication of like, would I be interested? What are their interests? What are their pictures? Mm-hmm. Like, is it a total creep or something? But after that, it's texting and then meeting up somewhere public, hopefully for a date.
But the problem is that middle process is bypassed significantly now.
It's not.
Well,
you chat on. I mean, at least what I've seen other people do as well. Like you message through Tinder, like you text, you talk, and then you meet up. Like there's a middle process. Like, I mean, it's not too long. It's like maybe a week or so, but it's like it's there.
Yeah, but the thing is, there is an accelerated process through that, and it is used as a quick shag machine, the same as Grindr is for gay men.
I think you're oversimplifying. Like, a lot of people have different expectations when they use Tinder. There are people that want a quick shag. There are people that want to get married. There are people that are just looking.
Yeah, it's whatever, a dating service. A friend. I get that.
Like, it's all kinds of people with all kinds of expectations.
How do you know the pictures are real anyway?
That is an issue in itself. You can tell that, some people are really good. Like,
search on Google.
Paulum says, there's danger on all dates. The last one I went on, I found myself married with a child. The horror is real.
Oh. You marked that for comment of the year.
That's quality. I'm going to leave it there because I know what Patrice is saying and I know what I'm saying, but I'm not being that literal. What I'm saying is people are misusing it for quick relationships, if you like, and that's where the danger comes, and that's where people aren't protecting themselves from it.
Yeah. I don't know. How do you go on Tinder and say, hey, I'm a bouncer or I'm a DJ? I don't have that. I wouldn't have that advantage anymore. Gosh.
You lie.
Yeah. You can still put it on your profile.
I guess. Does it have the same effect as walking in and actually seeing me DJ or seeing me at the door collecting money?
Yeah. Mm. No, it's definitely a different.
Yeah. I don't know. Perhaps.
Yeah. But I mean, coming back to the point, I think it's very good that Tinder is doing it. I mean, it's better than nothing. I mean, the services have existed before. Like, they're not inventing anything. I mean, they're partnering even with one.
It's just a different platform.
Like, it's still better than nothing. Like, even if, like, one person uses it because they didn't think about it before and now they have the option to get help or, like, get located, it's still a win. Like, I'm always a little bit cynical when like any services try to increase security, that always like screams a little bit like a PR thing they're trying to do to not to not be creepy.
Yeah, but
I think it's still a good thing, like no matter what. No matter why they did it, it's still a good thing.
Exactly. There's no negatives in that. Absolutely. Yeah. Who's not done a story?
Me.
Just you, Muller.
It's a little bit. Should we leave it to the last one?
You want to not do it at all?
It's up to you.
Influencers being offered.
No, definitely do it.
Influencers are being offered thousands for sex.
Yeah, it's
holy
it's,
crap.
It's totally linked to Big Chris's, really, this one. So men are looking at these women who are obviously Instagram. I mean, you often get that some of these Instagram models try to friend me, and they're usually photographic models, and I can quickly delete them because my wife actually sees them. She might think I tried to. You know, friend them, but apparently there are men out there who are looking for these for girls online on these kind of apps and possibly Tinder as well, and then offering them money for holiday sex to be seen with them, and it's quite horrible. It's tent. It's a bit like that. What was it? What was that movie where that rich man offered somebody £1 million to have sex with his wife? That kind of thing, isn't it?
Indecent Proposal.
That's it.
So rich. Oh, right.
Exactly. Rich, rich, powerful men basically putting people very in an uncomfortable position. And this one influencer says there's many of them feel like they have to do it for some reason. I can't quite work out where that comes from. I missed the TV program. This is based on this article. Based on. But yeah, it's there's some horrible, horrible men out there. And these women really need to take care and not go anywhere near them.
Mm. So I'm kind of torn on this. And because on one hand, you know, everybody has some kind of crappy opening line, right? It's like, you know.
And the crappy opening line that I've got is, do you want 10 grand?
Right. You know, it's like, hey, dad, you want to put 20 grand? And, you know, we can read the article. And certainly for the women that said no, props to them. You know, it's like, hey, you know, you're not interested, you're not interested. But I also, in the same token, if a woman says, you know what, that's 20 grand for me, I don't care, props to you too. If you don't care and you feel safe, and you know, that that's your business. You know, I don't know, I guess in I've kind of changed in that regard over the years, because of course, you know, we would shame the heck out of a girl that, you know, that even considered doing something like that. And now I'm like, you know what, it's your business, do your thing. So I don't know, I'm kind of, you know, on one hand, I can see how, you know, we, you know, us growing up in the era we grew, it's like, you guys are gross and women, watch out for these guys. But, you know, it's a different time now. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if I'm necessarily willing to just condemn the ones, and I, we'd be foolish to believe that no one has accepted that off. Every single person was like, nope, not doing it. You know what I mean? Because I'm sure there are people who have accepted that. I've listened to podcasts with women who talk about the offers they get and how they handle themselves. So, yeah. So I you know, I'm not gonna judge those ladies either.
There have been documentaries and everything like about services in LA, for example, that do that. I'm with you on that one. Like, I mean, it's always a little bit like there's a balance. Like, it can go into exploitation pretty quickly, which definitely is not okay. But if, like,
right,
if someone, like, man or woman, like, it actually exists in both directions, decides to do that and accept that and be okay with it, then, like, it's their choice.
It's got to be dangerous, though, because, I mean, if you go to a place like Dubai, like mentioned here, what happens if you're sold into slavery?
Yeah.
Hang on. Let's not just start saying that if you go to Dubai and you're a single woman, you're probably going to get into the white slave trade.
Yeah. No,
that's
just
that's massively over the top of the truth of the matter.
No, I'm not saying it just happens in Dubai, but you're going outside of the norms into a foreign country where you're not known. They take your passport off you, and before then, you're powerless. You could eat, and that kind of sex slavery is going on. It's a massive problem in this country. Absolutely massive problem. Particularly with Eastern European girls being whisked into the country.
See, now we do some shoots here for models, and there's a few photographers have used the studio, and they've turned up with their model and done shots of them. And some of those models then put those pictures out on Instagram or out on social media and are therefore followed by the opposite sex quite heavily because the images that they've got are revealing.
Mm.
And at this moment, I'm talking about you, Sean. And he knows who he is. He's been here several times. He likes taking his shirt off. He likes taking pictures of himself. He likes putting them on Instagram. And all of his followers are women. He is objectifying himself by the process of what he does. So I'm sorry that this goes for both sexes. If you're going to take pictures of yourself with next to nothing on and show it on the internet, you're going to get people of all walks of life who will come forward and say things to you. 90% of the people will go, you're gorgeous. That's a lovely picture. Well done. And then there's 10% of the people who are lions to the Christians. And they will always be there. They will always be there. The problem that you've got is that the aggressiveness of the male will always be more than, there won't be a female who will be that aggressive. But Sean still gets lots of lewd requests from women via DM asking him if he wants to come round and help them professionally. It doesn't change.
Jeff does, don't you, Jeff?
It's just, if you're going to, if you're going to complain about objectification, don't hold yourself up as an object. There's the point.
You know, they should make a movie based on that. You know, maybe a girl gets kidnapped and then she gets whisked overseas.
And the dad goes after her.
Right.
Wasn't that
I think the dad should have a very particular set of skills. Because otherwise the movie's just going to be crap.
Yeah, I mean, what a line, right?
Completely useless and like do nothing.
Yeah.
And then have the worst sprint in the history of movie making.
Yeah. he may not know who they are, but he'll find them.
He did.
And he has to figure out a way to learn the term good luck in another language.
Mm-hmm. Albanian specifically.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, no.
This sounds like it's going to be an amazing movie.
Why don't you queue up for that DVD, says Paulums. Oh, Doc has just called it. He said I'd put Liam Neeson in that role. That sounds amazing for him.
Sounds perfect.
Totally right. That's totally right. I see it now.
No, yeah, I can see it.
I don't want to make light of something this serious, but there is a certain point that if you hold yourself out in the public eye, you are going to get abuse. I have 2 harassment orders against people who used to listen to these shows because they just didn't know when to let it go. And it does become a problem.
Yeah, sure.
Mm. And I'm an ugly, fat old man. If you hold yourself out in the public eye, you're going to get emails that you open one morning that just say wanker on them. And I have.
Yeah. So. I just think it's very, very worrying. That I mean, surely they should have some way to block these. Well, they probably have, but I mean, block them properly.
Sure. You can block them. That's the whole point. If you don't want that kind of thing, just block the person that's made the offer. Mm-hmm. But you've got to realize there are people out there who are going to make the offer. So just stay away from them when you get the opportunity. I tore one of the guys, one of the people that we've got a harassment order against, I tore him a new arsehole. When the police approached him, he said that I'd been mean to him. he'd written to me and he phoned me up at like midnight on my mobile. Don't know how he got the number, but he phoned me up. And I'd worked out who he was. And I went online, found him, went in Cousin's house. He got 9 companies that had gone bust behind him. He was registered on about 8 different dating sites. So when he rang up the next time, it was like, well, at least I can keep a business running. Well, at least I can keep a wife.
Wow.
And he ended up putting the phone down on me. And then when I told the police, he said, you shouldn't have done that, Mr. Rankin. No, maybe I shouldn't. Yeah, I've got... I got a little sympathy, but not a lot on that one. I got far more sympathy with the other story that we just had. This podcast and all the others is brought to you by TSO Host. They are fantastic. They look after us, and we say it every week, but we really mean it. All the shows that we've ever done are on our servers. You can go back and listen right to the very first Mac Show and Big Show, back when we just did audio alone. Anything that you want, go to them, use the offer code BTN20, and you get 20% off your hosting basket. It is superb. You cannot do without them, but that's not what they want necessarily from us. What they really want is the social recognition, the brand recognition. So you have got to get out on the social medias and say thanks at TSO Host for supporting at British Tech, because that is what's important. So please, please, please get out there and give them that brand recognition. It's really, really crucial. And the other people we got are iMen Macs. Now, if you own a Mac or an Apple phone or any Apple device, if it's got a few issues with it, then like a cracked screen, here's my old cracked screen, see? Dropped it on the floor, made a right mess of it. They fixed it and they gave me a brand new screen and that's it, dead easy. They can do any iPhone model that you've got. They can also do stuff with your MacBook. So if you've got a damaged key or something like that, that's fine. If it's something that Apple aren't interested in, so say you've got a legacy machine, you're over 5 years old, but the thing works pretty well, it's just got a faulty cable maybe somewhere, they'll get in, they'll solder the logic board, they'll do all the fine stuff and get it back to you. Any repair that they do, 6-month warranty automatically on the repair, so that's not a problem. And if you've lost your data, don't worry, because they can even get your data back. And we had a photographer find out to us on Twitter today, said he'd lost data, and Ian Lewis recommended iMen Macs to get his data back, which is awesome. We love them to bits. And make sure you tell them that you came from British Tech Network, because you get a discount if you do. Well worth it. And again, get out on the socials. Do thanks at iMen Max for supporting at British Tech, please. Right, time for the cool things. Start us off, Christopher.
So one of the things that I've been doing lately is trying to, and I've talked about this before, is keep compacting all the stuff that that I travel with. And so I when my computer died for work, instead of getting a new computer, I got a Surface Mini, and it's been the best thing. I've had it for over a year now, can do my PowerPoints and everything on there and still travel with it, and it's light as hell. And then I found a new travel bag to use. Hold on one second.
Preparation is everything. He's going over. He's going to get his travel bag. If you're not watching on the audio here, he's coming back. He's got his travel bag. He hasn't got his earphones on, so he can't hear me taking the piss.
All right. Here we go.
I'm going to be quiet.
So, so I'm a guy that doesn't want to wear a fanny pack.
Yeah, so. Fanny's a different word in the UK, mate.
Oh, well, sorry. What do you guys call fanny packs over there?
A bum bag.
Bum bag. Yeah.
Bum bag. Okay. I'm not into bum bags. Okay. But I wanted to find a really small backpack that could fit my Surface and, or a small bag that could fit my Surface and my base electronics. And then, yeah, here you go. So I found this little guy. It's called a Zenkata bag. I found it on Amazon. It's got a single strap, so it's definitely not a bum bag. It goes over the shoulder.
Okay.
And it's real nice, man. It's got, you know, nice quality zipper, extra pockets inside, outside. My Surface Mini will fit right in there, my charger. And the one cool feature that I really like is the fact that it has a spot on the inside where I can hook up my battery, because it has the ability to open in the backside. Let me get to it here. So instead of having to constantly pull a battery pack out of the bag, I can actually hook one up on the inside of the bag, and then it has a charge port on the outside of the bag, so I can just plug a cable directly into the bag, charge whatever, and I don't have to take the battery pack out of the backpack. So I love this little thing, and it's going to get some heavy usage this year. So if anybody's like me and trying to continually downside their travel, pick out this Zenkata bag on Amazon.
Excellent, mate. Cool. What did you say the price was?
It was like $29, I believe.
Oh, that's nothing. Yeah, cool. Good price, mate. Jeffrey, what do you have for us?
Well, first, I have just a little fun thing for you, and then I have my actual pick. So here's the fun thing. There's a guy that put together a website that has recordings of dial-up modem handshake connect sounds. And it's, you know, for those of us that remember using dial-up modems all the time, it's definitely nice and nostalgic. It's cool.
Just one second.
You used to be able to get up, didn't you? You could do phone freaking.
Yeah, that's getting a bit boring now.
Yeah, if you do a faster modem, you'll get more sounds. Because, you know, there's the different sounds for each connection speed handshake.
Oh, that's AOL. That's AOL.
Oh, good times.
Oh, man, that takes me back.
Could be cumbersome.
You know, in retrospect, I'm thinking that could just be my pick because it's so much fun. So, do you want my other pick, or do you want me to hold it for another show?
Yeah, no, I just think if you end up playing that, you've got your speaker switched on your computer or your voice assistant, and suddenly it start doing some crazy shit. And this guy's programmed it to do something.
Yeah. Oh, that would
you should play that to your kids and see what they think about it.
Oh, you know what? You want to say, "Hey, lady," and then press play on that and see what happens.
I'm assuming that once it finishes the handshake, you hear a man's voice say, "You've got mail."
Mork calling Orson. Come in, Orson.
Yeah.
Good pick, mate. I like that. But you've got a proper one. Go on.
I do. So here's my proper one. It's a pen that I was given as a gift, and it's a titanium pen. And unscrew the cap. There you go. Screw the cap back on the other end. And it's a very nice pen. It balances well. And, it's lightweight, but it's not so lightweight that it doesn't feel right in your hand. But the other cool thing about it is that it's designed so that you can use, it's like over 700 different pen cartridges in it. So whatever pen cartridge you prefer, there's a good chance it's going to fit in here. And, and it just like it unscrews. And
so can you put like a normal ink cartridge in there from a fountain pen and that kind of stuff, and it'd work? Or
yeah, wow. Yeah. The cartridge that I have in here right now is the same thing as. There we go. So this came out of my four color pen, and so what I did was I pulled the little. Push button thing off the end, and then it just fits inside here without that on.
Wow.
And you screw everything back together, and you've got a pen.
Swiss Army pen.
It's a really nice pen. So it's the Big Eye Design Thai Ardo Titanium pen.
$85, but not that Jeff knew that because it was a gift. So there you go.
Right.
Excellent, mate. Lovely. Muller, what's your cool thing?
Okay, it's a, I'll just get it again. It's a podcast because I'm not really, I've bought some of it, but I've not had it yet. So I'll get you the link. And it's called Film Stories by quite a well-known bloke. I think he must be in the industry, called Simon Brew. And he basically just talks in depth about a couple of films. If you're interested how films get to be made, and some of the
what's Freaking Boxes?
Oh, well, it's linked to that other thing of Jeff's used to use them to.
I thought that was your bloody link, you muppet.
Oh right, sorry. If you want to pick that, but that's highly illegal.
Right, here we go.
Because you know about Freaking, don't you? Where they used to get long distance calls, particularly in America, using different boxes, different sounds.
Right. Okay. Sorry, moving on.
So the Film Stories is just an interesting podcast by this guy called Simon Brew, who clearly has links into Hollywood because he seems to know an awful lot about the way Hollywood seems to work and about how scripts get made and brought to production, and talks about background stories about some quite famous films. I've only listened to a few, but they are quite interesting. Well worth a listen if you've got nothing else to do.
Excellent, mate. Yeah, cool. Good one. Patrice, what have you got for us?
Well, I got another podcast. It sounds weird. It's the most boring podcast you can imagine. It's called Sleep With Me. And no, it's not about having sex with someone. It's literally, if you have, like, I don't know, you live alone or, like, I don't know, you have any issues falling asleep at night, this podcast is for you because... The guy has been doing it for I don't know how long. I think they have like 180 episodes, I want to say. And he does stuff like, I don't know, read. There was a recipe recently in the feed. Like, I mean, it's really crazy. He reads the most boring stuff, and it's intentionally that way. Like, nothing too exciting, no really like news or anything that would stimulate your brain, anything like that. It's like just one... Like, I think it's an hour and 10 minute long episode. We just reads everything just in one voice and just keeps talking and so on. No pauses, nothing. It's literally, it's intended to be lull you into sleep. It's really good. It works.
Okay.
So I can just highly recommend that.
You've given it a 5-star review and said utterly boring.
Exactly. That's the point. It's utterly boring.
I have heard other people just rave about the podcast because it helps them sleep.
Yeah, it's kind of the podcast version of Counting Sheep.
I've got an even better solution that I roll over to the wife and say, "How was your day?"
Oh. Oh, no.
Oh, thank God she doesn't watch this shit.
Or ask back when she tell us about if she moved all her stuff over to TSO host.
And before I do my cool thing, would you like to win a screen calibrator? This screen calibrator is worth 150 quid. We've got two of them to give away thanks to Datacolor and a company in Birmingham who market them called Digital Glue. This thing is the best screen calibrator I've ever used, and I've used loads, I have to say, over the years. If you would like to win this, all you've got to do is go to YouTube, hunt for British Tech Network, and then like and subscribe to our photo show and the channel. There is also British Tech Live on there as well, which we've got 345 subscribers on, so we can boost that up as well. So if you can, go to British Tech Network, because we want to start posting all the shows on the network address rather than the live address. We'll keep that for the live shows and stuff if we ever do them again. But get on there and transfer your subscription from the network over to the British Tech Network address. And we will pick two winners from the people who have subscribed to us and will be in touch. And you'll get one of these. My cool thing is, it's a bit niche, this one, I have to say. Now, I don't know if any of you know this, but I did a podcast, and I've got to edit it and post it. We did a podcast for a company called Videri. Now they do tanks, and they do amazing tanks. And Akhil, who's the owner of the firm, is just so knowledgeable. And he did his dissertation in biophilic effects of tanks on people's work behaviors and patterns and that kind of stuff. And he does an awful lot of stuff in offices to help people improve their productivity by putting in fish tanks and biophilia. And he gave me a beautiful tank with some fish, and it's he designed it to fit my job, which is, you know, on the railway. I've got petrified wood and I've got gravel and that kind of stuff, which was lovely. But he said, you just need to buy yourself a heater because these are marine fish. So I said, okay, that's cool. And he recommended that I go and find one that had got a temperature gauge on it. And if you've got a fish tank and you need to keep it up to marine temperature, this is a 50-watt heater, but it's actually got the temperature of the water on the front, and it's also got a little remote control unit. So you can say, right, I want the water to be 24 degrees, and then it sits and it maintains it at 24 degrees, and that's it. It's got a little thermostat that cuts in, keeps it going, keeps it moving, and it shows you that it's at 24 degrees. So you can see if you add new water or something like that, whether the temperature's starting to get low, and then you can wait until it heats up again and then add a bit more water so that you don't chill the fish too much. It's a bit niche, I know. Okay, you don't all have marine fish tanks, but it was really, really cool. And the little bit, the remote control unit, was brilliant. So it just kind of got me. Yeah. If you want any of the links, if you really, really want a heater for your fish tank, that's fine. Go to BritishTechNetwork.com/chat, navigate to the 23rd of January, and you will find all of the links for all of the cool things, all of the stories that we've done tonight. There. Right there. Right then, chaps. Where can we get a hold of you, Chris?
You can always find your boy on the SMR podcast. Go check us out on smrpodcast.com, on iTunes, and the Android store. Just three folks, me and my homies, talking tech, talking politics, every once in a while, talking whatever. We may talk about, you know, who's got the best looking face one day, and cool, who's got the best beard the next day. So it's a lot of fun when you cannot listen to us on this show and not feel like you've known us for 10 years. So come check us out at smartpodcast.com. Awesome. Of course, you can catch me on Twitter and a little bit more on Instagram now.
Well, right. Listen, good having you back, brother. I hope you're not going to be long before you're back again.
I hope not, man. Thank you for having me.
Love having you, pal. Love having you. Jeffrey, where about you?
I am over at textexpander.com and Jay Gamut on Twitter and Instagram, the Mac show earlier in the day before this, and I bounce around to a lot of podcasts, so I'm easy to find.
Excellent. Thank you. Muller, where are you?
Muller Biker on Twitter. I'm also on Tinder, but My picture's not me. I've changed it for some famous actor. Obscure one that you won't know very well.
So come and check me out. They wouldn't be very famous then, would they?
Well, been in a few, you know, bit of a background artist, you know what I mean?
Yeah, the people have got to remember that the voice has got to match the picture a bit, mate. That's the trouble with you.
Oh, well, I could talk like a Peaky Blinder.
Thanks, mate. Moving on. Patrice, where would you be?
Well, tomorrow I'll be assembling furniture, and other than that, every week here on The Big Show and The Mech Show, and everything I do on thepatrice.com.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. We'll be back. Oh, so the photo show's back, so don't forget to go and watch the photo show and enjoy that. And we'll be back again next week on Friday this time. So we just did this tonight because I've got to go to an awards evening tomorrow night. A friend of mine's up for an award, and I hope she wins. And it'd be great to be there while she does. But we shall see. I'll let you know on Twitter if she does. You can get me at Ewan Rankin. You can get the network at British Tech. And you can follow my Instagram account on at 12 Space Media if you want to. Back next Friday for the live shows as normal. 4 p.m. for the Mac show, 6 p.m. for the photo show, and 8 p.m. for the big show. Have a really great weekend. And we'll see you afterwards. Take care. Thanks for listening.